This is the Winchester Talking newspaper for the week ending 16th of October 2020. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking newspaper. Liz and Gordon Legg have edited the extracts this week. And so we'll begin with our usual regular notice. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with a recording you've received from us, please check the box to plugged into the mains before you telephone Liz Legree on 01962 861 229. That's Liz Legree on 01962 861 229. Now, as you listen to the recording, remember, you can use the button on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. And one more note for those of you with computers or tablets. As well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. That's www.winchestertalkingnews.com. You just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, most recent, first on the list. So let's take a look at this week's edition of the Chronicle. My team reader today is Peter Lydiard.
Hello.
And I am your presenter, Ros Lydiard. And yes, we are related. Peter is my husband. And we and Team A are delighted to be recording again for you. Now, moving on to the news, here are the headlines, unsurprisingly, on the subject of the virus. COVID-19 cases rise in hotspot. £2 million COVID lifeline. First coronavirus deaths for a month. More confirmed cases in schools. And the first headline story is from you, please, Peter.
Thank you. The headline is COVID-19 cases rise in hotspot. Winchester East saw more positive cases of coronavirus than anywhere else in the Winchester district in the last 7 days, recent figures reveal. Based on Public Health England figures, a new tool breaks down positive cases by middle super output areas, MSOA, in England, small areas with an average population of around 7,200. So between October the 2nd and October the 8th, 12 people in the area of Winchester East, that includes Winnell and Highcliffe, were diagnosed with the virus, the most in Winchester's 14 areas. The other end of the spectrum, Alresford and Stanmore, recorded between 0 and 2 cases. An exact number is not given by Public Health England. Elsewhere, 7 confirmed cases were registered in Winchester North and Sparsholt, and Winchester Central and South. 6 people tested positive in Oliver's Battery and Hursley, and Bishop's Waltham and Waltham Chase. There were 5 cases in South Wanston, Sutton Scotney and Mitchell-Dover, along with Springvale and Itchen Abbas, and Colton Common and Twyford. In Swanmore, Hambledon and Westmeon, 4 people tested positive, as did Denmead and Southwick. Winchester West and Whiteley, Knowle and Westmeon recorded 3 cases each. The figures are based on lab-confirmed positive cases of coronavirus reported by October the 10th, with specimen dates between October the 2nd and 8th. It comes of the chances of Winchester becoming a coronavirus hotspot have been increasing and look set to continue to increase. According to an interactive COVID-19 calculator designed by Imperial College London, Winchester has gone from having 0% chances of becoming a hotspot at the end of September to 84% by the end of this week. By the end of October, the likelihood will increase further to 92%. A hotspot is defined as an area where weekly reported cases rise above 50 to 100,000. So 50 per 100,000. As the number of cases increases not only in Winchester but Hampshire and nationally, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced a new three-tier system to try to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Excuse me. On Wednesday, Hampshire was classified as being medium alert. This means that residents will face the basic national rules currently in force, including the closure of pubs, bars and restaurants at 10 p.m. and the rule of six. It's the number of people who can meet up, both indoors and outdoors. These restrictions apply to the areas with the lowest rate of infection. It is not yet clear what is the threshold for the county to move from Tier 1 to Tier 2. As reported in Tier 2 area, the mixing of different households indoors will not be allowed and the rule of six will only apply outdoors. Meanwhile, residents in Tier 3 area mean pubs and bars will close, households cannot mix anywhere, gyms, leisure centres, betting shops and casinos will also shut. Simon Bryant, Director of Public Health at Hampshire County Council, said, "Hampshire is currently at Tier 1. Medium risk. While infection rates continue to be well below England's average, we are seeing the overall number of positive cases continuing to rise. To help prevent the further risk of infection, the risk of our county moving towards Tier 2 is critical that we all stick to the rules. Excuse me. Hands, face, space, and refrain from gathering in a group of more than six, either indoors or outdoors, although this can be more for single household groups or support bubbles." Mr. Bryant added that if we don't, we could be faced with further curbs to our freedoms, something none of us wants to happen.
First coronavirus death for a month. The Winchester district has seen its first coronavirus death in nearly a month. With its eighth consecutive daily double-digit increase in cases to Tuesday. The death was reported in the Hampshire Hospitals Foundation Trust. The hospital has not been revealed. The previous HHFT death was on September the 17th. In the Winchester district, there have been 89 cases reported in the 7 days to Tuesday, compared to 61 in the previous week and just 12 in the 7 days before that. The infection rate in the city council district is 563 people per 100,000 since the start of the crisis in the spring. The rate in the district for the last 7 days to Monday is 60 people per 100,000. On the week to October, the figure was 47. The number of deaths that have been reported in Winchester, Portsmouth, Southampton or the Hampshire County Council area in the last 7 days has increased by three from 616 to 619.
Yes, and more about COVID, but this time slightly more positive. A £2 million COVID lifeline. Cultural gems and heritage organisations across the Winchester district will receive over £2 million of life-saving funding. Six organisations based in the area will benefit from a share of the government's £1.57 billion Culture Recovery Fund. The funding is designed to help save jobs and help the sectors, much of which remains closed, to recover. The future of Winchester's Theatre Royal has been secured thanks to the government funds and the extraordinary support of the local community. Play to the Crowd, the arts and education charity that runs Theatre Royal Winchester, Hatfair and Playmakers, has reached its 225,000 survival fundraising appeal target, which it launched in July. It's also been awarded £219,134 from the government to secure its immediate future. Chief Executive Derek Newland said, "We're extremely grateful to everyone who's donated to our survival appeal and to the Department of Culture, Media and Sports and Arts Council England for approving our application to the Culture Recovery Fund. Our survival appeal allowed us to survive beyond the end of September, and the Culture Recovery Fund grant will help to mitigate some of the ongoing and increasing risks and uncertainties around COVID-19 across the next 6 months." He continued, "This has been and continues to be an extremely challenging time for the sector. As with many organisations, we've had to take extreme measures to reduce our costs, which heartbreakingly has meant restructuring our charity, leading to staff redundancies, to building a more sustainable future for the future. Sustainable organisation for the future, I'm sorry. Receiving the largest amount, Winchester Cathedral has been awarded £948,200 to support essential staffing costs and overheads until March 2021. This will enable the cathedral to continue caring for the precious heritage, to keep its doors open every day for visitors and worshippers, and at the same time to build its digital capability to support and engage with an ever wider audience." The Reverend Canon Dr. Roland Ream, Vice Dean at Winchester Cathedral, said, "We're deeply grateful for this public money, which will help us hugely in these challenging times, as we do our best to maintain and widen public accessibility." Following a fundraising campaign, the Mid-Hants Railway is celebrating a grant of £600,000 as part of the Culture Recovery Fund, which will allow the organisation to fund staff costs throughout the winter period when trading revenue is expected to be low because of the impact of the virus. It will also allow various developments to assist the railway to cope with the COVID-19 restrictions, such as erecting screens in carriages, alterations to dining trains and additional signage. Simon Baggett, Winchester Lion General Manager, said, "We're enormously grateful to have been awarded this grant, which really should secure the railway's continued existence beyond the coming very difficult winter period for the benefit of the local area. This news will be warmly appreciated by everyone who visits the railway, volunteers or works here. Being able to fund the staff over the winter will allow us to maintain the key engineering skills essential to the business and the associated training of young employees. The Hampshire Cultural Trust, which manages the Westgate Museum and the Winchester City Museum, as well as 20 other attractions across the county, has been awarded £480,000. As part of the government funding, smaller organisations in the Winchester district have also received much needed support. Entertainment and leisure business Empire Leisure UK, based in Whiteley, will receive £50,000, and theatre company Fat Rascal Limited in the Mearn Valley has been granted £71,733.
And the fourth headline in this week's Chronicle covers yet another case of coronavirus. It's headed "More Confirmed Cases at Schools." More schools in the Winchester area have reported confirmed cases of coronavirus. A staff member who works for the ARC, a breakfast and tea club provider, which operates at St Bede Church of England Primary School in Gordon Road, has tested positive. A small number of children who had been in close contact with the individual who has tested positive for coronavirus have been contacted and have received an individual letter informing them that their child must stay away and at home for 14 days. In a joint letter to all parents, head teacher Sarah Duck said the ARCS ARC, I beg your pardon, the ARC administration manager Imogen Taylor said, "We know that you may find this concerning, but we are continuing to monitor the situation and are working closely with Public Health England. The school remains open and your child should continue to attend as normal if they remain well." Stockbridge Primary School closed last week following the news that three people had tested positive for COVID-19. Head teacher Emma Jeffries said anyone who came into contact with the affected individuals has already been contacted and told to self-isolate. As a result, following guidance from Public Health England's health protection team, the bubble for years 3, 4, 1 and reception were sent home, as there is an insufficient staff for the bubbles of these at present. King's School has reported a further case of coronavirus after a pupil tested positive for the virus, and Winchester University now has 4 cases. Now, Peter and I will give you the death notices, and then Peter will read Christian comment. Death notices for the week ending Friday the 16th of October 2020. Ashburton, the Lord John Baring Ashburton, KG, KCVO. Peacefully at home on the 6th of October 2020, aged 91.
Brian Frederick Bush, passed away on the 4th of October 2020, aged 82.
Gourier, Tim Gourier, FRCS, died peacefully at home on the 10th of October 2020.
Randall, Jacob Randall, known as Jake, on the 28th of September, after a short fight with cancer, Jacob passed away, aged 37.
And on now to Christian comment, as I said, given to you by Peter. Nigel Hemming is the contributor of this week's Christian comment, and it's entitled "Lifting Eyes to the Mountains." Thank you, Peter.
As I write, the nation waits nervously for the latest announcements on tackling the virus. There is a very real tension as the government tries to find the almost impossible balance between health and economics. News websites anticipate every statement, radio shows interview those whose livelihoods will be affected, and I quietly, sadly accept that we will not be able to be with our family this half term as we were hoping. These are challenging and serious times for us all, but I am finding that I have to be careful about how the constant exposure to the cycle of news and social media can impact on my own mental health. I have realised over the past few months that it is much better to spend time thinking about the things that I can change – work, projects, family, hobbies, exercise, etc. – rather than dwelling on that which I have no control over. This is standard psychological advice for maintaining a positive mental attitude. It's important, and generally it works well. On top of that, I try at some point each day to lift my mind beyond the here and now and focus my thoughts on God. Some people call this prayer, and according to data from Google, significantly more people than ever before are turning to prayer in the midst of this pandemic. I have had to work hard to keep a big picture, heavenly perspective on all that's going on. Among other Bible passages, these verses from Psalm 121 are helpful and encouraging. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's possible to read this psalm in one way, seeing the problems around us as mountains, which seem very overwhelming and hard to conquer. Another reading, though, reminds us that we can look at the majesty and grandeur of the mountains, remembering their creator and tapping into his perspective as we face our challenges with his help. Churches of all traditions are continuing to respond to these times by helping people connect with God through a creative mix of in-person and online services. Ministers are working hard to facilitate these gatherings, and many of them share my concern for the young people in our communities. At Winchester Vineyard Church, we recently held an event which I could never have imagined until this year. A drive-through style family service in the car park, so our children could start to come back to church. Whatever mountains we are facing today, there's always another perspective to fix our eyes on, and help is always available. Now, for more info on prayer, you can check out www.24-7prayer.com. And for those who can't access the church online or in person, Daily Hope is a free phone line of hymns, prayers and reflections available 24 hours a day on 0800 804 8044. That is again 0800 804 8044. And that was written by Nigel Hemming, who is senior pastor at Winchester Vineyard Church.
Thank you, Peter. It's letters to the editor next. Now, we've got a very mixed bag of letters to the editor this week. Peter and I will read a selection of eight for you. And I have the first, which is from Eileen Berry. Sir, I have read with great sadness the death of Hugh Thomas that was reported in the Hampshire Chronicle, October the 8th. I have to say I had, and have, deep respect for that man's achievement. He was always looking to make sure that his architectural designs fitted into Winchester's historic buildings. There were people who were and are ultra-modernist in their design who disliked his work, but admired the man. When he built the beautiful development to the old barracks of the Royal Green Jackets, he built it with a view that it would last, as indeed some of the oldest historical buildings in Winchester have lasted. Sturdy, majestic, made with the best materials, he didn't look for glory, he didn't look for the end dollar, of course. If this came along, well and good. But his first commitment was in Winchester's historical environment. He was, in fact, a traditionalist, but with modern form in mind, especially in the interior of his developments. So once again, taken from us when he had more to offer, I, for one, will always remember him foremost for his honesty and his approach, and his sincerity and commitment to Winchester itself. Of course, this is a personal opinion, but in my mind, a valid one, and that's from Eileen Berry, Priors Dean Road, Hairstock.
Well, there's a second letter about Hugh Thomas. This one is written by Andrew Rutter. Sir, I was saddened to read of the death of the architect Hugh Thomas. Because of my respect for somebody who had an imaginative approach to listed barn conversions and really cared about the character of Winchester's townscape. As Winchester's first conservation officer, I welcomed new architects coming to work in the city to bring a fresh eye to bear on the possibilities inherent in their commissions. The City Planning Department did have a vision for the Upper Peninsula Barracks, the only buildings officially listed. We thought that a large public square with the eastern building adapted to the larger museums that the city wanted, students from King Alfred's College in the western building, and a hotel on the southern site where unsuitable modern buildings had been demolished, would be an exciting prospect if cooperation between the city and county councils could be achieved. But outside developers wanted a really dense scheme on the demolished lower barracks, which showed no respect for the tree-clad castle mound before Save commissioned Hugh to develop gentler proposals that avoided expensive archaeology. I suggest that a fitting memorial to Hugh could be to introduce the idea of families sailing model boats on the large central pond. This was shown by Hugh in his watercolour presentation drawing of his scheme. While living in Edinburgh, I regularly took my two young sons with their boats to this facility in Inverleith Park, which was very popular. When the barracks was completed, I took them up there and discovered that there was plenty of wind and the raised level of the shallow pond seemed potentially very safe. This would require the approval of the Residents Association, who I hope would appreciate the benefits of an inherently quiet activity that would add interest to the view out from their flats. I believe that one of the model boat clubs in Hampshire could be interested in helping to get this started, perhaps on special days. We don't seem very imaginative in providing interesting activities for young children. I really believe that Hugh would have been delighted to see this activity as a finishing touch to this large project. It's written by Andrew Rutter, St John's Road, Winchester.
Reasonable. This letter comes from Roger Stevenson. Sir, so the young people on the celebrated photo of their gathering on the Cathedral Green are irresponsible, are they? Chronicle Letters, October the 8th. They have come into a world run by selfish old men who have allowed us to pollute the air for the land mass and the seas. Many of the wild creatures that are abundant in our youth are now so rare that the young now will never see them. Global warming continues apace. We have just had the warmest September on record. Yet we continue to ride around in our cars and jet off on long-haul holidays. Our gross misuse of antibiotics has rendered many of them useless, exposing us to risks that have troubled us for the past 70 years. Careless and cruel animal husbandry have brought us to yet another pandemic. The risk to young people is negotiable, but the whole company is thought to be brought to its knees and therefore future forfeit to protect the elderly. Should the economy recover and they eventually find empowerment, a large part of the earnings will be diverted to pay for the pensions of those who have cost us so much, and they'll receive no thanks. The more the old men know in their hearts the threats such as global warming are real and continuing, but they imagine that little will be affected in their lifetime. The young do not have that luxury. Considering their impotency, the force of irresponsibly across their elders, eat, drink and be merry is perfectly reasonable behaviour. And that's from Roger Stevens, Cliff Way, Compton.
The next letter is written by Sarah Wilson and it's headed Finding Fault. Sir, I was very disappointed to see your front page photo of students sitting on the grass and the tone of your article, September the 24th. Please stop finding fault with young people. We need to value our young people and recognise how difficult their lives have been over the last 8 months. They're going to have to face challenges that no previous generations have faced. We need our young people to help us build a better future, so let's help them to do this. I was encouraged to see Claire Deirdre-Shinson's letter and agree that the Chronicle should take a more thoughtful position. As a point of principle, it is questionable whether the young people in the photo were breaking the law. It is impossible to take a photo that misrepresents depth and perspective, and they may not have been sitting as closely as the photograph suggests. It's written by Sarah Wilson, an older person, Monarch Way, Winchester.
Tesco Misery. This is from Daphne Dear. Sir, I have just returned from collecting my shopping from the Tesco Click and Collect station. And what a miserable experience it was, to be sure. The rain was pouring through the joint in the corrugated roofing, running down the back of my neck and soaking the rest of my coat.
And now a letter written by Guy Ashton, who was the portfolio holder for finance, Winchester City Council, between 2017 and 2019. And it's headed, "No Hole." Sir, you reported the Lib Dems claim that the Conservative administration left a £19 million hole in the city finances. The facts, however, are somewhat different. The City Council's audited accounts for the year ending the 31st of March 2019, the last year the Conservatives were in charge, show a surplus and an increase in reserves by £2.1 million to £59 million. The budget we announced for the year to the March 2020 had a range of plans for efficiency savings and income generation to meet future needs, but all of which has been put off by the Lib Dems. And now it turns out they can't even implement properly the solitary idea they have got, increasing parking prices. How much more dither and delay are residents supposed to tolerate? That's written by Guy Ashton of Colebrook Street, Winchester.
Tesco Misery. This is from Daphne, dear. Sir, I have just returned home from collecting my shopping from Tesco Click and Collect station, and what a miserable experience it was, to be sure. The rain was pouring through the joint in the corrugated roofing onto the shopping, as well as running down the back of my neck and soaking the rest of my Mac. The operative was gleefully plodding through the water, getting soaked as he reached over to fill the baskets. If Tesco cannot run to repairing their hole in the corrugated roof, then I am considering setting up a crowdfunding for the benefit of those of us who feel that shopping online is better than shopping in a store. And that's from Daphne Deer, Fairfield Close, Winchester.
And the last letter in this series is written by Jeremy Piers, and it's written, "Lazy Drivers." Sir, there have been plenty of letters in recent weeks regarding the traffic situation in Winchester. Most have been balanced and reasonable in their opinion. Dr. Les Burwood's letter was not in that category. I don't think I have read a more ridiculous letter in your columns in years of reading the Chronicle. Two words in particular sum up my disgust at this letter when cycling is described as antisocial behaviour. Cycling is such an uplifting activity. Anyone can ride a bicycle. It's good for your health. It's good for the environment and it's enjoyable. Cars are the complete opposite, especially in city centres like Winchester. No one has to drive into the centre. I am sick to death of the huge number of cumbersome 4x4 vehicles, often with just one person in them, jamming up our narrow roads. St George's Street is a classic example, blocked with cars for many hours of the day. What a joy if one day that road was pedestrianised. If a big city like Amsterdam can give priority to bicycles, why can't Winchester? So many car drivers are plain lazy. They need to make positive changes in their lives and leave their cars at home. That's written by Jeremy Pierce, Parchment Street, Winchester.
Well, if you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That's 01962 860836. Or you can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could also write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO2338AL. You could even pop in when you're in Winchester. And this next item now is editorial comment. The editor comments on one blessing of this accursed COVID-19. Good news that the Cathedral, the Theatre Royal and the Watercress Line in Alresford have received emergency funding from the government that allows them to continue into the new year. And whilst sad, the prohibition of the funfair in Alresford is the right, if not... Editorial comment is next, and Peter will read the editor's comments, and it's headed One Blessing of the Accursed COVID-19.
Good news that the Cathedral, Theatre Royal and the Watercress Line in Alresford have received emergency funding from the government that protects their future into the new year. And while sad, the prohibition of the funfair in Alresford is the right, if belated, decision that could have been made a couple of weeks ago without the benefit of hindsight. As much as the physical danger of COVID-19, an equally important threat is the attack it is making on our cultural lives. A world without the church, arts, theatre, music, funfairs and steam trains would be a world stripped of beauty and meaning. Those familiar things like pubs, theatres, galleries, museums are part of our lives, part of the air we breathe. To be without them is almost unbearable to consider. The annual fanfare in Alresford, where the Ryes take over Broad Street, as they have done for more than 100 years, is a vital, eccentric part of the character of the place, one of the ways of giving Alresford its local identity. If this accursed coronavirus has given us one thing of benefit, it is never to take these things for granted.
The next piece is opinion, and this week it's from Khalid RZ, and it's headed A Shot in the Arm. Read on, please, Peter.
After the fashion of adding the suffix gate to any murky happenstance, we've moved on to the word shot to describe any bold and adventurous endeavour. Boris's moonshot initiative over COVID has yet to hit its target after the metaphorical milk bottle into which his rocket was inserted, as they do on many a 5th of November, tipped over. Let's hope the Earthshot Prize will have greater success. It certainly couldn't have two better champions in Prince William and Sir David Attenborough, who last weekend got bumped up the chivalry ladder from KCMG to GCMG, that's Knight, Grand Cross of the Order of St Michael and St George, or, in the words of Yes Minister from Kindly Call Me God, to God Calls Me God. What more could he achieve? He's already a member of the Order of Merit, perhaps Knight of the Garter beckons. Anyway, back to the Earthshot. 5 £1 million prizes a year, plus the surrounding publicity, should do wonders to unlock human ingenuity and protect the environment. This includes climate change, although until we can persuade prime polluters such as China and India to play ball, things don't look great. The UK's self-imposed guilt trip over our 2% of the world's pollution is quite literally a drop in the ocean. Still, let's hope the prizes encourage more youngsters like 19-year-old Fiona Fiera from Ireland and 26-year-old Boylan Slat from Holland. One has found a way of extracting invisible microplastics from seawater. The other runs a company cleaning up larger chunks of plastic. We need more of their ilk. If we were in the US, we'd all be getting other sorts of shots. Over here, we call them jabs, flu jabs. My local GP practice Two Rivers based in Whitchurch and St Marybourne is a model of slick efficiency. They text you, you ring up, and offered an unbelievably precise time, 16:06 in my case. I pitched up fully expecting an inevitable build-up delay, as my appointment was towards the end of the day. But no! Out came the nurse at 16:06. I was jabbed and back in the car by 16:10. I am almost looking forward to the pneumonia shot I was offered. One-off injection which is supposed to work forever. Go on this way and surely immortality beckons. Well, sadly, mortality has caught up with Lord Ashburton, at 91, the grand old man of Hampshire. Quite literally an immense individual. He was well over 6 foot six. His most notable recent achievement was staging opera at his beloved Grange in Northington. Although born well after the official Edwardian era, he always struck me as Wodehousian to the core. There was something of the Lord Emsworth about him, but as far as I know, he didn't revere pigs and was sharp as a tack. Not that he didn't indulge in a little Worcesterish whimsy. He used to introduce each performance at the Grange with an air of ennui, reminiscent of Harold Macmillan, and always accompanied by his faithful black Labrador. On one occasion, he informed us that you may recognise one or two members of the cast as people you might have had dinner with. For a donation to the cause, some locals have been offered bit parts. One Hampshire matron famously played the role of a corpse. You may be wondering why I'm not myself appearing. I wasn't offered a part. Curiously, my dog was. However, as I was not to be involved, she quite rightly declined the role. R.I.P. John.
Historical next, and this week has an item about the flooding in Winchester. It headed Diving into the City's Problem, and that's coming again from Peter, please.
On August the 27th, Winchester City Centre went underwater without warning. People walking up the high street in knee-deep pools. Businesses were forced to close their doors, and some residents could not leave their street without wading through on foot. But why did this happen, and will it happen again? Chronicle reporter Sam Hathley has dived into the past, present and future flooding in Winchester. The past. In February 2014, the River Itchen, which runs through the city, burst its banks following days of stormy weather. The military was drafted in to help build emergency flood defences, and a number of residents were trapped in their homes. Since then, Winchester City Council has spent £900,000 on a flood prevention scheme. This includes a reinforced brick wall at River Park with floodgates, which can be operational within 20 minutes. So why did the extreme weather on August the 27th cause such turmoil? So on to the present. Both Winchester City and Hampshire County Councils are conducting an investigation into why this happened. But Rod Murky, who is pictured in an accompanying photograph, which of course we can't see, is a retired water resources manager for the Environment Agency, and he believes that he has the answer. He told the Chronicle, "This is entirely different from the 2014 floods. It has nothing to do with the river, and it's down to extremely intense rain. The infrastructure simply could not handle it, and there's not a lot that can be done. A sad thing to say, but it's really just bad luck." On August the 27th, 47 millimetres of rain was recorded in Hairstock in less than 24 hours. The average in East Hampshire is 64 millimetres for the whole of August. Residential areas in Winland and St Cross were submerged, with water rising as high as some of the doorsteps. Paul Hamilton, a warden at Winnell Moors, who lives behind the First In Last Out pub in Wales Street, says that residents don't quite know what to expect. "There's something wrong here," he continued. "It's an issue that has been regularly reported to the council and makes me question whether the basic infrastructure works. Whenever it rains, there are significantly large puddles left on the roads and pavements. On the day I opened my door, and there might well have been a river there. How worried should we be as residents?" Mr. Hamilton's feeling of uncertainty is shared with many local business owners. Water gushed into char tea in the high street and sat at around a foot deep. Natalie Hazeldine, manager of the store, said, "The dirty water flooded in and we were just trying to save as much of our stock as possible. We have not calculated how much we've lost just yet, because a lot of the paperwork was destroyed too, but a large amount of stock is kept on low shelving. For a while, the drains outside have struggled in the wet weather, but nothing has been done. So on to the future. Winchester MP Steve Bryan shares the same view as Mr. Murchie and says that sometimes the elements overwhelm mankind. Rather than working to prevent the floods directly, he believes in solving a much larger problem to help the situation. Mr. Bryan said, "I don't think there is much more mitigation work to be done." Sometimes the elements overwhelm mankind, and from an authority's perspective, it's about the balance between mitigation and the money we can actually be spent. We need to look at the global picture and to meet our net zero carbon ambitions. It's not too late. There has been no indication as to whether the investigation will conclude. For now, the cause of the floods can only be speculated. But the one question the Chronicle has for its readers is, are you worried about the future? Send your thoughts, please, to letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk.
Well, now we're going to take a look at what's on in the region over the next couple of weeks. We've just picked out a couple for you that you might find to be of interest. The first is spooktacular fun at the city museums. There will be plenty of spooktacular fun for all the family in Winchester this Halloween. Hampshire Cultural Trust has organised some ghoulish goings-on and terrifying tales at its museums and galleries. A creepy Halloween family spotter trail at Winchester City Museums on the square will allow visitors to the city to discover the story of England's ancient capital and take on some frightfully fun-filled Halloween activities. Families are invited to visit the Westgate Museum on the High Street and learn about the Tudor history of Winchester and get on to the Halloween spirit with a fun-filled Find the Bats family spotter trail. Both trails run from Sunday, October the 24th, to Sunday, November the 1st. I'm going to correct that, I'm sorry. It's Saturday, October the 24th, to Sunday, November the 1st. Admission is £1 per trail, including a prize for completing the trail. Now, those visitors waiting to take part are asked to pre-book at the museum in advance to allow to organise the numbers and social distancing. Now, I think Pete has got something for a local theatre company.
Yes, the Chesil Theatre. This is a first for them for a live streaming of a play. Winchester's Chesil Theatre returns to the stage on November the 7th at 7:45pm when a live performance of Jim Cartwright's Two will be streamed direct into the homes of the audience. Tickets are now on sale from www.chesiltheatre.org.uk. It's the first production of the Amdram Company to be put on using the new communications technology. Tony Rogers, director, said, "A streamed show has been a new way for us to work. Our goal has been to keep the feel of a live on-stage performance, letting the audience use their imagination much more than they would watching a pre-recorded show or film." Two, an award-winning play, takes place in a pub during the course of one evening and involves just two characters playing 14 different characters. There's two actors playing 14 different characters. It was first performed in 1989, but is not a period piece and rather has a timeless quality in encompassing a wide variety of people and situations, sometimes funny, sometimes sad, eventually poignant when the backstage story of the husband and wife publicans is unveiled. With pandemic restrictions in force for non-professional theatre, this show has been made possible by casting one household, real husband and wife, actors Peter and Sarah Andrews in the challenging roles. Sarah last appeared with Chesil Theatre in Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing, actor-director Peter's roles have ranged from Badger in Wind in the Willows to Andrew Wick in Sleuth. Earlier this year, he directed Ghosts for Henrik Ibsen, presented just before the lockdown. Chesil Theatre's chairman, David Small, says live streaming 2 on the 7th of November is as near as we can get to make it for an audience to enjoy a show. This is not archive material or pre-recording. Our audience will be watching a one-off performance, albeit at a distance, but exactly as it's happening on the Chesil Theatre stage. Tickets are £10 per household or £5 per a single person household. Give access to the live stream transmission on the night and are available from www.chesiltheatre.org.uk. The show can be experienced on most popular devices, tablet, smart TV or laptop, and starts at 7:40 p.m. with a log on from 7:30 p.m.
Thank you very much, Peter. We're going to move on now to lighting up times. Starting on Saturday the 17th of October, the sun will set at 6:07 p.m. and on Wednesday the 21st of October, the sun will rise at 7:39 a.m. and will set at 5:59 p.m. Those days are getting shorter. And we're nearing the middle of winter. Now we're moving on to items of general news. And Peter has the first article, please.
Yes, he's called another pub to close its doors. The Critters Pub in Easton could be closing for good. In an email seen by the Chronicle, Gary Swan, who runs the pub, told local residents that he has taken the decision to close. Mr. Swan said, "It is with a heavy heart I have taken the decision to close the Cricketers. I would just like to take this opportunity to thank you all for your custom and loyalty over the past 9 years. The pub's website is now out of action. The Chronicle has contacted Mr. Swan and Itchen Valley Parish Council and awaits a response. The closure comes just weeks after Green King, owned Willow Tree in Derngate Terrace, announced that it too would be shutting. The Queen's Head in Fisher's Pond is also shut. It is also owned by Green King, which plans to shed 800 jobs and close dozens of pubs nationwide after trade slumped following the 10 p.m. hospitality curfew set by central government."
The second item is headed Queen's Honour for First Responders. Bishop's Waltham Community First Responders have been presented with the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service at a presentation by the Lord Lieutenant. The award is the highest given to local volunteer groups to recognise the outstanding work done in their communities. Community first responders attend life-threatening emergencies to give medical treatment and support before the ambulance arrives. The Bishop's Waltham CFR group has been active for over 17 years, with responders being the first on the scene many times. Community first responders are all volunteers who are trained and dispatched by the ambulance service. They also attend non-injury falls and concern for welfare incidents. Most do not have medical backgrounds and they come from all walks of life. They each contribute on average 20 hours a week or more to ensure that people in Bishop's Waltham, Swanmore and Waltham Chase get a rapid response.
And more on the Queen's Birthday Honours. The Queen's Birthday Honours have been announced and two Wintonians have made the list. Paul Elkington, Professor of Respiratory Medicine at Southampton University, has been awarded an MBE for his services, particularly during COVID-19. In March, the Chronicle reported on a project that he was leading. His team invented new equipment to protect frontline NHS staff during the pandemic. Vera Collins has been given a Medal of the British Empire for her services to the Winchester community. Professor Anthony Edward Hill, OBE, the Executive Director of the National Oceanography Centre, lives in Chandler's Ford. He is already an OBE and has this year been named as Commander of the Order of the British Empire for services to ocean and environmental science. From Bishop's Waltham, Ronald David Williamson has received a Medal of the British Empire for his work in the village. Chandler's Ford resident Jane White, the advisor of the Secondary Legislation Scrutiny Committee at the House of Lords, has been made an OBE for her services to Parliament. And the next item is called Socially Distanced, the Church of England's New Deacons. The Diocese of Winchester has welcomed 17 new clergy members. A mix of men and women were ordained deacons at a service by the Bishop of Winchester, the Right Reverend Dr. Tim Dakin. The 9 women and 8 men, ranging in age from 28 to 64 and from a variety of backgrounds, will now serve their local communities as Christian leaders. Bishop Tim said, "This has been a challenging time for us all, but I am grateful and delighted to ordain those whom God has called to serve the mission of the Church. This year has shown us the importance of coming together to support one another and serve our communities. I have no doubt these gifted and committed individuals will continue to do so, and I will make known the good news of Jesus' life-transforming power to people across the Winchester Diocese. The new clergy bring with them a breadth of experience and include a former architect, a vet, and a cardiac surgeon amongst their number." Bishop Tim ordained the new deacons following their 2 or 3 years of training. As servant leaders, deacons take on the responsibility of serving their communities and reaching out to those in need. They are ordained to the priesthood the following year. New members of the clergy are usually ordained over the summer, but was delayed this year due to the coronavirus. One new member, Nikki Smallwood, 44, previously worked as a vet, where with her final year of university coinciding with the foot and mouth epidemic in 2001. She later went to work at the small animal practice before taking a career break for her new young family. Nikki said, "Through my experiences, I have found that God showed me the importance of coming alongside people during dark and difficult times. I worked with the most amazing and wonderful women and know that my time at Waterfall helped steer me toward ministry."
Curfew for shoplifter. A persistent shoplifter has been placed under nighttime curfew for the next 12 months. Catherine Jane Moray, 43, of Hydegate, Hyde, Winchester, admitted 4 counts of shoplifting from city centre supermarkets, handling stolen goods, and 4 counts of fraud involving stolen bank cards with a James Beadle. Magistrates in Basingstoke ordered Moray to pay £570 for compensation. He also gave an order for a £90 victim surcharge and placed her under curfew to stay at home between 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. There was no other order for costs.
Trinity expansion is underway. Trinity Winchester will be providing on-site accommodation for the first time in its 34-year history. The charity, which supports the vulnerable and homeless, hosted a groundbreaking ceremony for its Under One Roof at Trinity project. The Mayor, Councillor Patrick Cunningham, in the presence of the Lord Lieutenant Nigel Atkinson and City MP Steve Bryan, marked the start of construction on Monday. The extension to the centre will have 12 flats for people who are rough sleeping regularly. Sue McKenna, Trinity Chief Executive, said, "Under One Roof at Trinity will enable people in most need to live on our site and not have to go back to sleeping rough when we close for the day. It will give people a safe space and person-centred support to address the underlying issues that have led to their repeatedly ending up on the streets. The flats will have ensuite bathrooms to reduce the risk of contagion through sharing facilities. Residents will be offered support to help them get their lives back on track and move towards successful living independently. Steve Bryan, MP, said, "The ambition and compassion of the Trinity, supported as they are by their partners and the local community, never ceases to amaze. Derngate View is the perfect partner for the work that goes on day in, day out at the centre, and I know it's going to herald an exciting new chapter in the charity's work supporting some of the most vulnerable in our city. Under one roof at Trinity will enhance the day centre services. These include hot meals, showers and laundry, health and wellbeing support in partnership with St Clement's Surgery, counselling and learning, IT training and employability mentoring delivered with local businesses. Trinity helps over 650 individual users annually."
Court challenge knocked back. A Littleton man who applied to challenge his conviction for assault on a woman has been rebuffed by magistrates. David Brown, 58, of the Hall Way, applied to the magistrates to reopen the case, which had been dealt with on September the 2nd. But magistrates in Basingstoke rejected the application and told Brown to appeal to the Crown Court. No other details were available. Brown had admitted to the assault committed on December the 12th last year. Magistrates fined him £123 and ordered to pay the victim £50 compensation, as well as £32 victim surcharge and £30 to the court.
High Street name teetering on collapse. High Street fashion chain Edinburgh Woolen Mill, which owns Peacocks and Jaeger, is close to collapse, with 24,000 jobs in the balance, according to documents filed with the High Court. The company has lodged a notice of intention to appoint administrators to look for potential buyers to shore up the struggling business. Its branches include Edinburgh Wool Mill in Eastleigh. The Winchester store closed several weeks ago after announcing a closing down sale last March. National bosses wrote to the staff on Friday, warning that the national and local lockdowns had hit sales very heavily. The company added that it had been hit hard by allegations, which it denies, that the retailer and several rivals failed to pay some Bangladeshi suppliers during lockdown in an attempt to cut costs for clothes that they were unlikely to sell. The move by Edinburgh Wool Mill, owned by businessman Philip Day, will see insolvency specialists at FRP spend 10 days carrying out an urgent review ahead of further action. All stores will continue trading and further details will be announced in due course, the company added, but significant changes are expected. Chief Executive Steve Simpson said, "Like every retailer, we have found the past 7 months extremely difficult. The situation has grown worse in recent weeks as we have had to deal with a series of false rumours about our payments and trading which have impacted upon our credit insurance. As directors, we have a duty to the business, our staff, our customers and our creditors to find the very best solution to this brutal environment. So we have applied to court today for a short breathing space to assess our options before moving to appoint administrators. Through this process, I hope and believe we will be able to secure the best future for our businesses, and there will be inevitably significant cuts and closures as we work our way through this." Council leader hits back at MP. The leader of Winchester City Council has hit back at comments from MP Steve Bryan criticising a lack of action by the authority. In his letter from Westminster, published in the Chronicle on August the 27th, Mr. Bryan called for action over plans to regenerate the city, including Silver Hill and Station Approach, saying the schemes have come close to making progress, but often they've slipped back into the too difficult box. He continued, "My central thesis is that Winchester can no longer afford to indulge in endless debate and self-interested legal challenge because this is all connected to the changing workplace." In his letter, Mr. Bryan also called for better local leadership and vision. His comments sparked a call for collaboration by Conservative leader on the City Council, Caroline Horrell, who requested for Authority leader Lucille Thompson to work proactively with her to prevent a united vision to regenerate Winchester. But her bid for partnership triggered disapproval from Councillor Thompson, who said, "I don't find it very helpful when I have to find comments by our MP in the Hampshire Chronicle basically being rude about the council, because that isn't helpful at all, and actually it doesn't make me feel inclined to put my hand out. At the moment, we have been holding joint cabinet and shadow cabinet meetings so we can keep you fully updated on the current COVID crisis." Councillor Thompson told the full council meeting last month that the ruling Lib Dems are happy to work with the Tories and consistently do so.
And the final item from our general news this week is headed top award from an international scheme for day nursery. West Downs Day Nursery is a deeper shade of green after receiving a top award from an international scheme. The prestigious Green Flag for exceptional environmental awareness and conservation efforts has been awarded to children and staff at the preschool. It is powered by green electricity and has zero load to landfill. It has topped the scheme, which uses and involves millions of children across 64 countries. Jake Meekings, manager of the award, said that the result of years of continuing dedication by staff and children working together in the Global Eco Schools programme. "We are absolutely delighted to have earned this award," he said, "reporting and respecting and caring for the plan is an important lesson which we believe will stand our children in good stead for life. The fact that our children understand the importance protecting the environment is brilliant and should be celebrated. In the garden outside, children grow and tend to fruit, vegetables and herbs all year round." And I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. But before we go, another reminder that Liz Legree is now the person to call if you have any problems with your recording. Her number again is 01962 861 229. And we'd like to thank all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition, to our editors, Gordon and Liz, and of course, many thanks to my accompanying reader, Peter, who has worked very hard this week, and from me, Roz, until the next time, goodbye.
And goodbye from me.
Would you please put the memory stick in the wallet when you've finished with it and return it to us as soon as possible? Thank you, and here's looking forward to speaking to you next time.